Surrey. Grew up here all of my life, but I'm here for a good time, not a long one. And with housing justice, oh, I could tell you, I've been evicted many times in my life. I'm 22 years old. This is probably like the 12th house I'm living in. I moved out when I was 17. But why housing justice is so important to me, because I've struggled a lot. I've seen my family struggle a lot. I've seen my community struggle a lot. And definitely it's getting worse with that prices rising higher, more people, less housing. It's like survival of its own. Like every, yeah, it's tough out here. The thing is, there's only so much we can control with like the amount of housing we have here. Like, it's not even, it's not that easy. You can't just build your own house out of like in this empty land, because everything has a price. I would definitely say like it's a step-by-step process. I think even like meeting up right here, like it was a big difference. It's a little thing, but it's a big difference. I feel like raising awareness and just even having conversations about it is so important. Because like, as a person who's been evicted so many times, like your main focus is survival. Like, where am I gonna sleep tonight? Where am I gonna go? Like, how am I gonna take care of my family and like take care of myself? So like, definitely reaching out and like, yeah, having community to talk to is good, and spreading the word, you know? Mm-hmm.
Often, like when the media reports about housing issues, they may focus like on one family or one person without talking about how there's a common experience of injustice, you know, within different.
Mm-hmm. There definitely is a big number of injustice here for housing. Like, as working as in downtown Eastside at the center and the shelter, and like.
Which center is that?
The downtown Eastside Women's Center in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are struggling with housing here. It's really sad. And sometimes you feel really powerless, to be honest. But, survival.
Mm-hmm. For people who aren't aware, could you just say what is the Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter?
So the Downtown Eastside, it's like a tent city strip in Vancouver with homeless people, low income, people who struggle with mental illness, addiction. It's just like, yeah, to the tent city of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the women's center where we work at, we have a shelter, and we have three shelters and two drop-ins where women can shower, eat, have free meals, and like get access to toiletries and stuff, all free, which is really nice. Mm-hmm.
Stefan Christoph for that report. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Be right back with some more talk, but first, more local music. This from Roswit called Dreamer Song. song by Roswit from the album Eternal Living here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And now we are going to hear a piece, another piece from the Local Journalism Initiative from Frequency News. This one produced by Ian Gregg at CFUR Prince George about an event last night at Prince George's Knox Performance Center celebrating the release of a joyful youth-focused album, Shunbe Natsuje, by lately Tene musician Kim Gucci. So we'll hear that, and then Democracy Now! Will be next. Thanks for hanging out.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Hello, listeners. We are on the line today with Kim Gucci, who's releasing an album, and not just any album. This one's for the youth. Shunbe Natsuje, or We Are Healing Through Songs, is fun for the whole family. This is Kim's first album that really has a younger audience in mind, but it's fun for the whole family. And again, this being Kim Gucci we're talking about, it's not your average children's album. Its contemporary sound is created by top-notch performances from an all-star cast with a production team that any artist would be jealous to work with. It was quietly released this summer, but the coming out party is this October 23rd. That's a Wednesday at Knox Performance Center at 6 p.m. You'll get a chance to come on down and hear the newest tracks by Kim Gucci, local artist from Prince George, Clayley Tanay. She's loading in, getting ready for the show as we speak. Kim, thanks so much for joining us on the radio today. I understand if you happen to be a youth in Prince George this week, there's more opportunities than just the evening of the 23rd to see you. Is that right?
We're doing also school shows. This is just not a one-off. Today we're going into a full rehearsal, and then tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. we have the first load of buses coming in, and we're filling the Knox Performance Center to the rafters with kids. And I am so, so, so thrilled about that. And so we're doing that 10 a.m. and then another show at 1 p.m. And then on the morning of the 23rd, we're doing the same thing in the morning. We're filling Knox to the rafters again with kids. And then in the evening, doing the public show. And it's totally a family show. It's going to be so much fun. It's a celebration. We have balloons and food and streamers and some stickers and t-shirts. I've gone out on a limb and bought a bunch of merch, hoping that people are going to come and want to be a part of this. So
excellent.
It's a party on the 23rd.
Like life. It is a celebration.
Yes.
One of the things that I want to lead off the top, this project has taken a while to come together because it's so intricate, but you've also collaborated with so many different individuals on this, and well known to our area and on the festival circuit scene is Ray Spoon, was involved in the production of this album. What kind of involvement did you have with Ray? What was it like to work with the master of Western Canadian rock and roll?
Right? I know. I'm kind of blown away by the fact that Ray was in my house yesterday. I opened the door yesterday morning, and standing in front of me was Dan Barton, Zach Windy, and Ray Spoon. And I stood there for a moment, and I had to literally, like, just look and take a breath and be like, is this really happening right now? It's been just absolutely incredible to be on this journey with so many amazing people. And I must say that it goes all the way back to meeting Ray Spoon back in, I believe it was 2016. We're actually today loading in at the Knox Performance Center, which back in the day was Knox United Church. And that is the first time I ever laid eyes and listened to Ray Spoon, was at a show over there. And so here we are almost in a complete circle where Ray is coming to listen to the songs that I've created with this amazing band.
Absolutely.
Seeing me at a show at Midsummer way back in the day, and Ray's coming backstage and saying, wow, you have something that I want to be a part of. And my label, Coax Records, is created for people just like yourself. So that began our journey. And we've just been in touch pretty consistently ever since around 2016, off and on over the years. And then Ray decided, hey, let's write a grant. Let's get some money. You know, there's so much funds out there for Indigenous artists, especially Indigenous artists singing in their ancestral languages. And that's where this all began. So we applied for the grant multiple times and we kept being declined. And I think because I had I'm a big dreamer and I think I had too many components and it just really didn't like make a lot of sense for whoever was adjudicating was not easy to grab. So we decided to just strip it down and create something much easier, which was basically Kim Gucci will research, write, and record a children's album in her ancestral languages. And that is what we ended up doing.
That's the vision that's been carried out
yes.
since that introduction. You can't hope to get a better introduction
right.
to Raven in that situation. It's incredible what's culminated here. Yeah, can you walk us through a little bit of some of the languages you're exploring within this album as well? Localized Clalie Tene dialect is predominantly Dekath, also known as Carrier, but you also included another, at least another two other languages within some of the tracks yes. on this album.
Yeah.
What?
Well, actually, three if we're including English.
yeah, true, fair.
Which is another one of my ancestral languages. Yeah, definitely. Dekath is kind of the, I would say, the main language that you'll hear throughout this album. You'll hear a lot of English. I mean, because that's my first language, so naturally I was going to include some English, but I also think it was a little bit of strategy in wanting listeners to feel comfortable in picking up this album and being able to understand it. But so they're going to hear and be relatable because they're English speaking, but they're also going to, for the first time, hear a lot of Indigenous languages, and especially for kids. I love that kids will get to hear this and ask questions. And maybe not necessarily understand, you know, what the language is saying, but the music 100% emotes the emotions of the song. And so that is what is going to be the common thread. The common denominator is going to be the music and the way it's all laid out and put together. And I must attribute that to my friend Dan Barton and Heath West. And so that's a whole other leg of this journey because, and the other languages that are on the album are from my ancestral roots. Also our Cree, which is on my grandfather's side, and then the Sequimuk Sheen, which is the Shuswap language, which is the language of my maternal ancestry. And it's a language that I never grew up hearing because it just was not a part of my childhood. And even when I would spend all of the summers in the Shuswap, in the Sequimuk Ulu, I never heard the language, you know. My mom never spoke it. Her mom never spoke it. My grandmother, even, you know, in all the times that I was at their houses down in Chase, I never heard them speak the language. And so that one was a harder one for me to grasp. But I definitely did get at least one song and some words within the other songs on the album. And but it just really opened me up and inspired me to want to learn more.
Do you feel that by putting the efforts forward to create something like this, it kind of fills in a gap in your own learning experience that perhaps you never did have yourself? And how does it feel to be able to put that forward for other people to be able to access it now in such a joyful and accessible way?
Great question. That's been a part of my awareness all through this journey, is that I'm actually on a journey of reclamation of not only language, but also of identity, because I grew up not knowing who I was. You know, I always knew that I was an Indigenous person, but I didn't know much more than that. I didn't have a connection because my family, unfortunately, through the residential school systems, has affected both my father and my mother. And so language and culture wasn't supported. It wasn't something that we practiced because of those influences. But I did have a grandmother who spoke, my Dekath grandmother was my blind granny, and she lived with us for a lot of my childhood. And that was my only true connection to anything Indigenous at all, was her speaking the language and eating the traditional foods and craving them and wanting to go berry picking. Even though she was blind, we would go berry picking with her, and she would get my mom or one of us to lay down a blanket under a berry bush, and she would sit down beside the bush and she would grab the branch and she would hit it with a stick, and then all the berries would fall out onto this blanket. You know, like, those are the memories that I have growing up, like, you know, the gathering and the hunting and the fishing and such was my closest connection to any cultural practices, but without the language involved. And so as an adult in my songwriting journey, if you've ever heard my music, you will notice there's a lot of references to the land and to that connection. And I think that's something that's just been a natural part of who I am. And so those are the three languages, Dakas, Sequetmekshin, and Cree, that are represented in these tracks. And sometimes I actually fuse the three of them together. And that's been really fun because it's basically who I am. And so that really is a true representation of who I am.
It's really interesting how you're able to tie some memories in of your own life experience into some of these songs. And through creating these songs, hopefully people also have the opportunity to create meaning through doing something and actively participating in something through singing along to these and creating their own memories to share through it as well. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of these, I think, have the potential to be so joyful. I mean, I want to touch on that a little bit. One of the really poignant and maybe difficult tracks is 215 plus, in reference to mm-hmm. children found at Lajack and throughout Canada. Just the difficulty of that trauma to process is also surrounded by the truly joyful songs on this album as well. Did you find it difficult to dig into these stories and these memories and create such a joyful, beautiful album around it? Or did it flow just naturally to create something that's so uplifting?
This whole album and all the songs on this album came very naturally. I did not set out, like, for 215 especially, I did not set out and say that I'm going to write a song about this. It actually came to me while I was driving back from a ceremony at Lajack after, you know, the announcement of the 215 graves at Tkamut-Sequetmoc. Being an intergenerational residential school survivor myself, that really hit home for me. It really shook up my mother, and it shook up a lot of people around me in my circle. And so I was feeling very raw about it. And so as I was driving back from the ceremony at Lajack, I just started to sing. And I remember I was crying and I was driving, and those words just came out of me, you know. And it started with just the English words, because I do not speak my ancestral languages. So I am not fluent in any of them, and I know I know what I've learned through this songwriting process, and not so much beyond that. So what I did was I started singing in English, and then I brought the song idea to my friend Edie Frederick, who is no longer with us. So this album means even more to me, as you know, a legacy of the work that she's done and all of the time that she's put into helping me to translate phrases and whatnot in the Dakas language. So,
that's Edie Frederick.
Yes. She was the one that helped me translate the word for the 215 plus.
That's a really powerful memory too, that you were able to form with a friend and an elder in the community. I was speaking to someone who attended the celebration of life that Edie had in our community just the other week, and they referenced the performance that you gave at that time as well. And he had the opportunity to experience one of your songs and everybody in the audience singing along, you know, counting along in Dakas mm-hmm. to one of the tracks, and was really overjoyed at the prospect that these are one of the necessary keys to rebuilding and sharing culture and, well, having fun with it. And the element of joy that is present throughout this album is reflected in all of these tracks, right? But it's not to say that it's not without a challenge. I want to ask you about one track that stood out to me, was featuring Earth Child. And I was curious, that track, Gratitude, what was it like to collaborate with Earth Child? Did you find it intimidating to incorporate kind of a hip-hop vibe into your work? Which, if I had to name it and peg it down, maybe I'd call it like folk rock or something. But was that challenge worth the risk? Because it really paid off, I think.
Well, you know what? That is, I think, the funnest song on the album. It always gives me a boost and a lift and so much joy in that song. It's so danceable. It's so fun. But that, again, like the beginning of that song just came to me while I was actually having a bath. And I started just singing, Cooks, jams, nachelia, ninaskamon, hey, 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 hey. And it just came out of me literally like that. And so I recorded it. And, you know, that's how this whole album was, that even came to life, is I would just record these little voice notes. And I would, as I was gathering them, I would send them over to Dan Barton, who became my project manager and my producer on the album. And that's a whole other story that I'd like to talk about that would bring us back to Ray Spoon again. But so I would just send these little voice notes off to Dan and to Heath, and Heath West is the fellow that ended up doing all of the mixing, mastering and whatnot of the album, which actually added all the magic. And so that song, we were in the studio over in Smithers at Elijah Quinn's studio, Sonic Quinn. And when I was singing it, I instantly knew, I said, this needs some hip hop. And I've always been interested in hip hop. I actually, we joke about it, but you know what? It might happen someday. Is that I say that I want to actually do like a hip hop song, or even like do like have another band, sort of like a different genre, I guess. And then we'll call it Kimmy G and the Brat. And then I have like all of my musicians that will come in and totally join me on that one. And they're all game. But so intimidating, not at all. I actually am super excited about it. And we were rehearsing it last night. Unfortunately, Earth Child is not going to be joining us for this stretch, but we're still going to include his parts. And we have another artist singing on it. But I just find it so fun and exhilarating.
I can actually picture Kimmy G quite easily, especially with some of the artists you've performed with as well, like Saltwater Hank. I could picture that going down pretty easily, pretty smoothly, actually. Speaking of performers, who is joining you on stage at Knox on October 23rd?
I'm so glad you asked that, because here's the thing, is that I just basically had this idea that I want to do an album release here in Claytonnay, and I want all of the people that played on this album to come. And it's sort of like a reunion and a celebration. It's sort of like having a wedding, you know, and you're going to throw this big party and it's going to cost you a lot of money, but you're going to do it anyways. And so that's sort of what's happening. And so all of these artists have either flown in or driven in or who actually live here. And so there is, I'm going to start with Dan Barton, who's coming from Red Deer, who's playing drums and percussions. And he's the fellow, like I said earlier, that is responsible for the fact that this album has even gotten done, because he was the one that picked up the reins when Ray Spoon was very, very ill. And we were still communicating and whatnot, but there was just, Ray just didn't have a lot of energy to give to this project. So with their blessings, we just said, like, okay, Dan Barton is showing huge interest and he's so committed and dedicated to like weekly meetings and everything. And I was like, wow, Dan, you're like project manager material. And he's like, yeah, sure, let's do this. So then turned out into the producer as well. So that's sort of like the direction that we went. So we got Dan Barton, we got Naomi Kafka, Amy Blanding, Elijah Quinn Larson, Zach Windy, Brigitte Demeter, Bryn Porter, Michelle Bourgard, who's new to us. Unfortunately, Jeremy Paul is not available because he's out on tour. And he played all over this album. So Michelle is coming in to take on some of the banjo parts and whatnot. And then there's me. And then we have Bryn Porter's little daughter, Karis, who on the album.
Oh my God, really?
Doing the, she's on stage with us and she's learned a bunch of the songs, and we did a little rehearsal last night. It was super fun. She's so adorable. And then the other wonderful thing is that Ray Spoon is here. Ray Spoon is actually going to be here to witness what it is that we've created. So that, and it's the first time we've all been together to play these songs, because if you know about like the whole recording process, unless you're doing a live off the floor, which we did not, we pieced this together between Smithers, Red Deer, and here in Prince George and all these various studios. And then it just all got mixed and mastered over there in Red Deer. And so this is the first time we're going to be all together on the stage performing it. So if you come to the show, you're going to witness history, and then it's going to ripple out into spring. I've already been booked for the Vancouver International Children's Festival, and
wow,
we're going to do like a little tour around that area. So yeah,
it's happening. Yeah, that's tremendous. I already feel the momentum building on this. I mean, what you just described, for anybody unfamiliar with the musicians you've listed, that is nothing short of a veritable supergroup. That has a lot of roots up here in northern BC. Just the locations you've mentioned, you know, you've had to dance all over Western Canada to put this together, but it's from here. It's a part of us, and you know, you're giving it back all on Wednesday, October 23rd at Knox Performance Center. That's downtown Prince George. Kim, I'm curious, has anybody in the community, you know, stepped out and showed their support or anything? Are you feeling the love for this yet? I feel like you've put a lot of love into this project. Is it coming back to you yet?
Absolutely, tenfold. I actually received some sponsorship money from Selin Alpe at Canadian Tire. Selin happens to be a very, very dear friend of mine. And yes, Selin. And so he, unfortunately, is not going to be able to be here because he's over in Toronto, but he's definitely here in spirit, and he's contributed some funds that allow the schools to come to my shows on the Tuesday and then on the Wednesday morning. So that is courtesy of our friend Selin Alpe. And also have some sponsorship that came in from the Integris Credit Union through my other friend, Dan Wingham. So community support, there you have it. I'm so grateful because, as you know, and as I said earlier, doing something at this grandiose, like I said, I'm a dreamer. It was a big dream. I have so many people helping me right now. I have Julie Fisher helping me on the booking of the schools and taking care of all of those logistics and helping to make this a party. I have Catherine Benny helping me doing
powerhouse
media stuff. I have Jen Rubido helping me doing so many other things. So Connor Pritchard on sound and lights. We have Reverend Bob, who's been very helpful. And there's a bunch of volunteers that are going to show up too. So definitely feeling the love.
It's incredible. No, this is a tremendous team. You can't do something like this on your own. And it sounds like you've managed to surround yourself with some very good people for this project, Kim. And I recommend anybody to check it out. If they need a pick-me-up, they want to learn something, it's all there.
I actually released this album on June the 13th. And I chose that date because it's my mother's birthday. And I got CDs made. It's available all over the internet. It was really a gift for not only my mother, but all of the ancestors that have gone before me. And I just really feel like I've done them proud with this one.
That is really sweet. It feels good, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
It gets you in the zone. October 23rd. Yeah. That's a Wednesday. Head on down to Knox United, 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. That's downtown, 1448 Fifth Avenue. Tickets available at the door and online at knoxcenter.ca and or kimgucci.com. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
Thanks to the LGI for that. This is Jesse. It's Speak Up. Democracy Now! Is next, and Fund Drive is next week, so get ready to make a pledge to support your favorite local community radio station. See you then.